This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, talking some Colorado Buffaloes with Brian Howell, publisher of BuffBlitz.com, covering the University of Colorado football, basketball, and recruiting for On3. Brian, my man, always great to catch up with you. Sounds like it's been a very interesting week in Boulder for you guys.
It has been an interesting week, and it's always interesting. It's been an interesting 3.5 years.
So, well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's just, it's crazy. There's always something going on. I wanted to get into this. I'm assuming you were at practice, and maybe you can clear this up, like when this deputy sheriff goes out to serve papers. What is the real story here, Brian? Because this one is just absolutely nuts.
Well, yeah, I was at the practice, but I didn't know anything about the deputy sheriff until later on that they were trying to serve the papers. I didn't see any of that. I was enjoying football practice, so I didn't notice any of that stuff. But it sounds like they went up there at that time and said that he wasn't available. I mean, they had to have known he wasn't available. It was pretty public that they were going to be in practice at that time. So I'm not sure why they went up there at that point in time.
So the sheriff didn't approach the practice field or anything, I guess.
I don't know. If they were, I will say where they put the media is not near the entrance. So if the sheriff showed up at the entrance of the gates, I didn't see that.
What a wild story. So, I mean, and now we're seeing stories of Coach Prime's lawyer getting involved. We kind of thought maybe something like this would happen where it's like, hey, if he's not available to coach, that's gonna affect his job at this point. So is Coach Prime going to get out of this somehow, Brian? I mean, what do you know?
Well, I don't know much, but in talking to people, what I think is, I don't think he's going to get out of it, but I think that what will probably happen is they'll work out something to where, you know, he can testify at a time that doesn't interfere with the game, you know, whether it's, they could do it by Zoom even.
That's what we were talking about, yeah.
You know, maybe find out a time on Zoom that he could testify or, you know, a day that he doesn't have to be in Atlanta, Georgia to coach a football game, maybe. That would help. So my guess is that they'll probably work with him and figure out a good time to do that.
Is he talking about this much, or is it one of those things where it's like, hey, we're not going to allow any kind of questions about this?
Well, he hasn't. He doesn't talk to us that often. So he talked to us at Media Day last Friday, and we won't talk to him. I'm not sure if we'll talk to him again until game week, so in about a week and a half or so. So he hasn't really had a need to talk about it, or hasn't been put up on the podium to talk about it. So, we'll see. I would imagine he might get a question for that at the next press conference, but he has not been put at the podium yet.
What a weird – just the whole thing is kind of odd. Like you said, even with the sheriff knowing when the practice is and it's just showing up, I mean, how difficult is it to just figure that out and find a way to get him those papers?
Right. look, he's got a slogan. He wears shirts all the time. Says, I ain't hard to find.
Apparently.
And, you know, there's stories of him, like, actually sleeping in the facility at times because he works so long. So he's probably up there a lot. They probably could have picked a time that was not 9 to 11 a.m. to go serve those papers.
Brian, and how does that work? We were kind of going into it yesterday. He's been subpoenaed, but if he doesn't actually – if he's not served those papers legally, does he then have to – if he's not actually served by the time this starts, does he have to go?
I don't know that. I would think not, but I don't necessarily think he's trying to get out of doing that. I think it's just they're trying to – I would guess that he's received the papers at this point and they're just trying to figure out a time to actually get it done.
Yeah, it's just a weird situation, and the timing of this is just absolutely crazy. And again, we've talked about this, like, if something comes up and it's going to affect your job, it's not just the, oh, well, football's going to win out over a court case. No, if they lose to Georgia Tech, and then obviously that sets a downward slope for the rest of the year for the Buffs. I mean, that could potentially cost a guy his job or other jobs surrounding him.
Yeah, and this is one of those deals. It's interesting because we talk about the timing. It's surrounding a deal with Shiloh that was almost a decade ago or more than a decade ago. I can't remember exactly when it happened, but it's that whole case that they're trying to still figure out, and it's crazy that it's still dragging on for one, but that they are doing it right now is kind of crazy as well. But it's a story that I haven't really done much on with Shiloh, but because it hasn't impacted really the product on the field. But this is one where now all of a sudden, if he's got to testify during a game week, now it could impact the Colorado Buffaloes.
Yeah, no question. I mean, and the distraction side of this too, because if we're seeing stuff, if there's stuff coming out online all over the place, players are seeing this too. Coaches are seeing this. Fans are seeing this. Just how big of a distraction is this going to be?
I would guess not a big one. Look, this team has dealt with distractions because of Coach Prime. Not his fault always or often even, but they've dealt with distractions for, now this is going on in year four. So I think this team is used to it, and Coach Prime's used to it. He's probably had people come after him for years, for various reasons. I mean, they've had religious groups come after him because they like to pray and various things like that. So he's used to it. I'm not sure he's going to be too worried about it, and he's going to do his best to deflect that from the team. And I'm guessing he's not going to let the team worry about it too much.
Brian Howell joining us, our Buffs insider. And so with this Shiloh Sanders thing, like you said, this is one that's over a decade old. This is stemming still from the whole security guard incident when he was in high school, right?
Yeah, actually, I think he was in middle school.
Middle school, wow.
I think he was an eighth grader when that happened. So might have been 2015, something like that. So 11 years ago. I can't remember exactly when that incident happened. But yeah, he was a middle schooler, and it was about him getting his phone taken away from the security guard. So yeah, it's been going on for a while.
So where does the $11 million, where does that come into play? Is this what he allegedly owes the security guard in some kind of a settlement? Or where is that number coming from?
Yeah, so it's basically, it was a ruling that was the amount that this guy was determined to be owed by Shiloh, and Shiloh is basically trying to reduce that. He filed bankruptcy at one point. He's basically trying to reduce that and, get out of all or some of that $11 million ruling. But I think it's what the defendant or the victim or whatever has been awarded at this point.
And Brian, do you know, and I know we're going heavy into this because it was crazy. This was kind of the news this week. As far as Coach Prime and what he would be, what the courts need from him to testify, I guess, is he like a character guy? What would be his role in all this? That's where I'm also just kind of wondering what Coach Prime's role would be.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure. I haven't, I haven't super closely followed all of this, but I would guess, look, Shiloh was in middle school, so Deion's one of the parents. And so, and apparently there's something about some family dispute that was going on at the time, and so they probably want to talk to him about that, and they might want to talk to him about Shiloh's finances, and is he really bankrupt? Does he not have the money to pay this? So, there's probably a number of angles that they're going to try to come at him at.
Interesting. Brian, well, let's talk football a little bit. You spent a lot of time, I was checking some of your stuff out this week, talking about the running back room. I know you're hyped about this room. You're going into different details there. Talk to us a little bit about the pieces you put together this week.
Yeah, they're actually going to play some football. I do like this running back room. I think there's some really good pieces. And it's a bunch of guys nobody knows about because they haven't done anything on the Power 4 level or not done anything great. Micah Welch led this team in rushing last year, but it was less than 400 yards. And so that doesn't scream out at anybody, you know. And I actually bumped into him today, and he just looks stacked. You know, he's a short guy. He's a little bowling ball. And I actually said to him, I was like, you just look different this year. And he goes, oh, yes, I'm very different, very determined. And he's just running different than he has in the past. You have Damian Henderson, who spent 2 years at CSU not doing a whole lot. He was at Sac State last year, had a really good year in Brennan Marion's offense. And he comes here now and might be their best back. But then you have the Kalen Taylor and Jaquale Smith, who are little guys with a lot of speed. You know, Richard Young, who's a big back who came from Alabama, a former four-star. So you have a mix of talent that in this offense is going to use a lot of those guys.
And as you've kind of learned more about this, you mentioned Brennan Marion, you mentioned this the go-go offense. I'm curious to see, and maybe you're learning more of this as you go, but like what does that role for a running back look like in this offense? I mean, are you expecting them to catch a lot of balls out of the backfield, lining up on different portions of the field? What have you learned about, you know, the running back's involvement in this offense?
Well, they use two running backs a lot. So it's really it's a lot of triple option concepts in this offense. And there's two running backs on the field a lot. And so a lot of times it might be that big back and then a small back. And, you know, so there are going to be two guys in the backfield quite a bit standing next to the quarterback in that shotgun formation. And so they'll run some option type plays. I don't think they're going to throw to the running backs a lot. I mean, Sac State was different. I mean, every team's different. They didn't have a great quarterback. From my understanding last year, those guys didn't catch a lot of passes. So we'll see on that. Their leading rusher last year had 1,000 yards rushing and caught 15 passes. So it's not a lot of receptions out of the running back room, but they're going to carry the ball a ton. I mean, Brennan Marion's offense has averaged at least 173 yards rushing every year he's been a coordinator or a head coach. So we expect a lot of rushing attempt from those guys.
Yeah, and I'm assuming, you know, based on all that information too, and in Marion's background, this offense is probably going to put up a lot of points, being a lot of track meets. On the flip side of that, you know, what have you learned about this defense, Brian, that leads you to believe, hey, you know, we might not have to score 30 to win games this year?
Yeah, that's kind of the hope. You know, and Deion Sanders hired Brennan Marion to score the 30 plus points per game, and then Chris Marv comes in. It's a brand new defense. Not only is he new, but there's only 8 guys on that entire defense that were on this team last year. And several of them are walk-ons who probably won't play a lot. So it's a lot of brand new guys. I think this defense could be sneaky good. We don't really know a lot about it. There's a lot of guys that are coming up from lower levels they're depending on, but they're raving about a lot of guys. And, you know, that happens every year, and I get that. The talk is different this year, if that makes sense. I mean, just the way they talk about some of these guys is different than the things they were saying last year and sometimes in previous years. So I think there's a lot of leadership. There's a lot of hard-hitting guys on this defense, and there's a lot of fundamentally sound guys on this defense as well.
How about our guy here? This is the one of the more interesting players, Gideon ESPN Lampron. He's going to be a stud, right? I mean, you don't have a middle name like that if you're not a stud.
Right, and plus his story is pretty cool. For those that haven't heard, I mean, the way he got recruited to Colorado is anybody that's followed Colorado knows that Coach Prime has a private jet. He flies everywhere on that a lot of times. He happened to be on a commercial flight, the same flight as Gideon Lampron this last winter, and Lampron walks by him and says, "Hey, Coach, nice to meet you. I'm in the portal. I'd love to come play for you." And Deion Sanders calls his one of his guys on the staff and says, "Look up this guy, tell me about him." And his staffer writes back and says, "This kid can ball. You want to get in touch with this kid." And so he goes to the back of the plane and talks to him and says, "Tell me about yourself." And next thing you know, he's a Colorado Buffalo.
That is insane.
Yeah, isn't that a crazy story? So, you know, first off, the gumption to walk up to Coach Prime and say, "Hey, I'm in the portal. I can come play for you." But he's as advertised, and Coach Prime told us the other day, and more, just a big-time hitter. And, again, fundamentally sound. He was a leader, an All-American at the FCS level at Dayton. Then he goes to Bowling Green last year, top 10 in the country in TFLs, and has 120 tackles. And it's just been bringing it every day in practice.
That's a cool story, too. I mean, what are the odds? You know, he's this kid's in the portal, and then he turns out he's actually, you know, you go back and look at the film, he's actually pretty legit. He's pretty good.
Right. And, you know, and from the story, it's literally he talks to him, and Coach Prime from the plane calls one of his staffers and says, tell me about this kid, finds out he's legit, and walks back to the back of the plane. Says, all right, let's go.
It makes your job easy, man, when you can recruit that way, if he's just already on the plane with you.
Yeah, you know, look, he's got to what I figure out from that is he's got to take more commercial flights.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, you got to increase that because you never know who you're going to meet next.
That's right.
Brian, great work this week, man. Loved checking out the stuff on the running back room specifically. We're getting closer to game week, and we won't have to fill most of the time with you and talk about other stuff outside of the actual X's and O's.
There's always going to be other stuff.
That's right.
As long as Prime is here.
That's right.
And that's okay. But as I tell people all the time, for those that don't know, as we cover it every day, it's more about football than people would really understand. And I'm looking forward to the actual football part here in now 13 days.
13 days away. We've got, like I told you the other day, man, we got the best. We got the best in the biz talking Buffs with us. So, Brian, always appreciate it, man. And we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
You bet. Thanks, Brady.
All right. Brian Howell, our weekly guest, Mike, he's on with us weekly. I wasn't going to get into the drama that I created this week because Brian doesn't deserve that, Mike. But it is nice because we can get Brian on and we can just talk about the football side of it. And as much as I'm saying, I do feel like the Buffs are in some trouble, I am really interested. I think Brennan Marion, as the offensive coordinator for the Buffs, that's one of the more interesting stories surrounding all these teams that we're following on the show.
I mean, they can't get much worse. So I'm going to default to they're a better team.
I think offensively they're going to be much better from what we're hearing.
Defensively, nice big question mark.
Nice big question mark. But yes, Gideon, ESPN, Lampron is going to be a guy to watch, not just because of the name. That's a crazy story, Mike. He just happens to be on a plane that Coach Prime is on, goes up to him and says, hey, what's up, Coach? I'm in the portal. Come get me. Coach Prime then goes back to his little miniature lab there and starts talking to his guys saying, hey, give me something on this guy. He's literally in the plane with me. It'd be a waste not to at least figure it out. They come back and say, that guy can ball. So he gets up, goes to the back of the plane, starts talking to him, and then next thing you know, he's a Buff. And he's got the best middle name. I know you don't like it. But it's not that I love the four-letter network. It's just that's a cool middle name. It's crazy that, you know, the dad got away with it, but he did it.
I mean, mom could have always gone to the courthouse and changed his name.
That's true. But why? It's cool. 36 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break, get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.